Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 160. Let's cook chicken marsala. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, growing our skills and confidence. Hey, I hope everybody is doing well out there. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. I hope you're staying sane and positive. Well, I finally got a chance to get back into the kitchen to do a little cooking, and I thought I would record a new Let's Cook episode. And for this one, I'm making one of my favorite dishes, chicken marsala, or at least my version of it. We're going to hop over to that in a second, but I just want to say for anybody who wants the actual recipe that I'm going to cook through in a minute, you can head over to the show notes for this episode at kitchencounterpodcast.com/160. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/160. Get to the show notes, grab the recipe, and give this chicken marsala recipe a shot. Look, I'm going to keep the intro housekeeping section short this week. I will just toss out reminders that if you're interested in our Facebook community, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. That will take you to the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. Check that out. It's awesome. In fact, I'm going to be doing a smorgasbord episode here. Maybe for the next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the folks in that group because I'm always inspired by what is going on in there. So definitely go check that out. All right, let's get back to this chicken marsala. Look, do you think chicken marsala sounds like a really fancy dish? It does, kind of, doesn't it? It tastes like you spend a lot of time cooking it. But I got to tell you, you can get this thing cranked out in under 30 minutes. Sounds unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. In fact, I just did it on the cook-through that you're about to listen to. So one more time, grab the recipe at the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/160. In the meantime, enjoy this live cook-through of chicken marsala. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the kitchen. For today's Let's Cook episode, we're going to be making one of my favorite dishes, a simplified version of a chicken marsala. This is a really simple dish. It sounds very fancy, but it's a very simple dish. And one, if you have the ingredients that you could even throw together on a weeknight, if you wanted to, it's really that simple. For this recipe, we're going to be cooking it beginning to end, and I'm just going to be focusing on the chicken marsala itself. I'm not going to be focusing on any side dishes or accompanying dishes, but I would serve this typically with something like a pasta and a veg, or maybe mashed potatoes. It's really good with mashed potatoes and some sort of other vegetable with it. But let's get started by talking about what equipment we're going to need and then what ingredients we're going to be working with. And as I've done in other Let's Cook episodes, I'll talk a little bit in more detail on some of these ingredients as we go along. But for equipment, very simple. I have a stainless steel saute pan here, big enough to get four chicken cutlets into. So, go for a large pan if you have one. Of course, I've got a cutting board, my knife here. I'm going to be working on some boneless, skinless chicken breasts. I've got a mallet, a kitchen mallet, you know, that you can tenderize or pound meat with, or, you know, flatten cutlets with. I'm going to be using, if you don't have one of those, just find something sturdy and solid, in your kitchen. Like, for example, you could even use like a can of beans or something. You could, use the side of it to sort of pound cutlets. We'll talk about that in a minute. Other equipment, I've got a couple bowls and plates. I have a plate I'm going to be putting flour on to dredge the cutlets into. And of course, various assorted spoons, a fork, spatula, that sort of stuff. For ingredients, this is a chicken marsala, so we do need chicken. This is going to be a two-serving dish. It's going to be easy to double. And of course, you can go get the recipe on the website and do that. But I'm just going to be working with one boneless, skinless chicken breast. I've got about 2 ounces of diced pancetta. You could also use regular old bacon. That works just as well. 2 ounces would be maybe one good thick slice of bacon or a couple thin slices of bacon diced up. I've got some flour that I'm going to, as I said, use to dredge the cutlets before I cook them. I've got a half cup of Marsala wine. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. And I've got about 4 tablespoons of heavy cream, salt, pepper, of course. I've got a clove of garlic I'm going to chop up here in a little bit. And I've also got some fresh flat leaf parsley that I'm probably going to use right at the end, perhaps for some garnish. Again, if you didn't get all of that, you can certainly go to the show notes, which I will mention at the beginning of the episode and at the end of the episode, to get the actual recipe for chicken marsala. So let's dive right into this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so first thing I've been doing on the side before I even started recording is I've got my saute pan over medium high heat. I've got that heating up because the very first thing I want to do is get the pancetta cooked down. I'm going to cook it down until it's cooked through, almost crispy, and then I'm going to actually remove it from the pan, and we're going to use the fat from the pancetta as the base to cook the cutlets with. So the pancetta is going to go right in. You'll probably be able to hear it when it hits the pan. Yep. Excellent. So a quick note about the pancetta. I mentioned that you can use bacon. You know, really the big difference between a pancetta and a bacon, they're very similar, and they can almost always be used interchangeably in recipes without any problem. The main difference is that a bacon is going to be smoked when it's cured, and a pancetta is not. So that's the primary difference between the two. Again, you can use them interchangeably in this recipe. I rarely have pancetta on hand, but sometimes I'll be able to get a piece of bacon out of the freezer, or I'll have some in the fridge that I can just dice up and use. Okay, so that's cooking. Let's talk about our friend the chicken breast here. So I'm actually going to make 4 cutlets out of 1 chicken breast. And the way you do that, if you look at your chicken breast and you lay it down on your cutting board, it has sort of a teardrop shape, right? It's got a pointy triangular tip at the top, and the way I've laid mine down, and sort of it expands down in sort of a rounded bottom. You could say pear-shaped even almost. What we're going to do is we're going to cut this into 4 pieces. Now, most boneless, skinless chicken breasts come with the chicken tenderloin still attached, and that's actually going to be one of our cutlets. And if you can see on your chicken breast at the top, you can usually see a seam, of like a real thin seam of fat even, that looks like a line that kind of comes in at maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 o'clock if you look at the top of the breast. That's where the chicken tenderloin's actually connected. And if you flip your breast over, you can see the flap of the tenderloin. And we're actually just going to take our knife. Before I do that, I'm going to give my pancetta a stir so it doesn't burn. So I'm going to take my knife and I'm just going to carefully, in small cuts and strokes, start to take this chicken tenderloin off of this breast, following that seam that you can see. And as you slice it and pull it away, you should end up fairly easily with a nice chicken tenderloin, and then you can flip your breast back over. Now I've got the chicken tenderloin off to the side, and I'll take a picture of all this so you can see it. So that's going to be one of my cutlets. Then I'm going to take the teardrop shape of my remaining chicken breast, and I'm going to start at the narrow pointy end, and I'm going to go up about halfway until it really starts to round out, and I'm going to slice it across the middle. So I end up with 3 pieces now. So I've got the chicken tenderloin, I've got this triangular piece, and then I've got kind of this round fat piece of chicken breast left. So we've got 3 cutlets. We're going to turn this into 4, and the way we're going to do that is we're actually going to thinly slice that larger piece that's left in half. And the way I do that is I set it flat. You want a really good sharp knife for this. I'm going to put my palm, and I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on the chicken breast, and then I'm going to take my knife sort of parallel to the cutting board, and I'm going to start cutting sideways into the chicken about halfway between the top and the bottom. And I'm going to slowly slice and saw my way through, holding down the chicken breast. I'm not worried about cutting my hand because my knife is staying parallel with the cutting board. And I'm just going to go through and cut until it comes to the other side. Now, I've done that. Now I've got 2
more cutlet pieces. So now I've got, or two cutlet pieces. So now I've got four. I've got the tenderloin and then the three parts of the breast that I just sliced up and broke down. Stirring my pancetta. This is a very active cooking dish. I saved slicing the chicken breast into cutlets for demonstration on the podcast to talk through it. Ordinarily, I would have had that all done and part of my mise en place, right? Everything set out and ready to go. But thought it would make more sense to do it live. Now, they're not quite exactly yet in the shape that I want them to be in. They're not, they're cut into four pieces, but they're not really like cutlets yet. I want them to be a little bit thinner. And the way I'm going to accomplish that is I'm actually going to pound them. I'm going to wash my hands first real quick. Food safety, if you're handling raw chicken, always be sure to wash your hands before you move on to other things. So I'm going to actually get a piece of Saran wrap, which ordinarily I despise working with Saran wrap because I just think it's the weirdest, most pain in the rear stuff to deal with. But it works perfectly for our purposes. So I've got my chicken pieces laying on the cutting board. I'm simply going to lay the Saran wrap over one of those pieces. I'm going to take the flat side of my mallet and I'm just going to give this piece of chicken, one of the four pieces I've got here, a few strikes. You can hear that, I'm sure. Doesn't take much, and you don't have to be too much of a brute about it. So that is one cutlet now. It's expanded probably 30% in surface area, but it's also gotten about that much thinner. So that's a nice thin piece of chicken. I'm going to continue doing that with all four pieces. So you can end up with four cutlets. They're going to be different shapes, which is totally cool. What you're really shooting for is not so much the shape, but the thickness, right? You want these all to be roughly the same thickness so they cook nice and evenly when we go to put them in the pan. Okay, that's number three. Like I said, it doesn't take much. And now the tenderloin, which is sort of long and skinny compared to the other pieces, but it will pound out just fine. Okay, so now I've got four beautiful thin chicken cutlets. I'm going to wash my hands again because I didn't avoid completely touching all that chicken. Okay, the pancetta, It's kind of funny because I haven't turned on the exhaust in my kitchen because it makes too much noise while I'm recording, and this pancetta is giving off a little bit of, well, I probably should have the exhaust on. Let's just say that. Anyway, my pancetta is about done, so I'm going to take a slotted spoon here, and I am just going to remove it from the pan. I'm going to turn my pan down a little bit for now. Now, I want to leave the fat from the pancetta in the pan because, again, that is going to be the basis of the fat and flavor we're going to use to cook our chicken cutlets. I'm going to turn the heat back up in a minute, but I'm just turning it down now so my fat doesn't sit here and smoke while I'm talking through the other parts of this. Okay, so the pancetta is out. Now, I want to season these chicken cutlets. So I have the four pieces. I'm just going to simply do salt and pepper. And I'm going to salt them on one side, flip them over, or you pepper them liberally as well. And then I'll flip them over and do the same thing on the other side. Then what I'm going to do is dredge them through some flour and then get them into that hot fat in the pan and cook them. Then after that, we'll jump over and make the marsala pan sauce, which is going to be fantastic. So I like a lot of pepper on my chicken cutlets. I think the pepper is, black pepper is a beautiful flavor contrast to the marsala sauce. So don't be afraid to pepper them up real good. Of course, if you don't like pepper, you know, use your best judgment, or if you have eaters in your household that you're going to be cooking for that don't like pepper as much, you can tone it back a bit, but it's not going to be that forward and noticeable in the final dish. So I'm just hitting the other side of my cutlets with some salt and pepper. Okay. Now I've got my four cutlets ready to go. I'm going to pour a little all-purpose flour out. I've just got a regular dinner plate here. I'm going to spread out some all-purpose flour. I'm going to turn my heat back up on my pan that's got the fat from the pancetta. Now I'm going to look in here. I want about 2 tablespoons of fat total. I tilt the pan and I can see I have maybe a tablespoon. So I'm going to get a little bit of olive oil and just supplement what's in there. So I have enough to cook these chicken cutlets. So I'm going to put about a tablespoon or so of olive oil in there. I'm going to let that heat up for a second. My pan is big enough that I should be able to do all four of my cutlets. It's important that when you get them in there, you don't want them touching or overlapping. You want them all to make contact with the hot pan and not crowd each other. If I were doubling this recipe, say, and making 8 cutlets, I'd probably need to do a batch of 4, remove them to a plate, do another batch of 4, maybe adding more olive oil for the second batch, and then, you know, just doing them separate like that. So just keep that in mind if you're going to go that route. Okay, give my heat just one more second. I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm forgetting to talk about. You know what I'm going to do actually while I'm waiting? I am going to go ahead and dice up my garlic or chop up my garlic real quick while that olive oil is coming up to a nice hot temperature. Again, for mise en place, I probably should have had my garlic done and ready to go, but hey, it's a live cook-through. I gotta have some kitchen sounds to make, right? I'm not gonna get too crazy and mince this too fine. Just a rough chop on that clove of garlic is fine. Okay, my fat is up to temperature. Make sure it's coating the bottom of the pan. I'm just gonna take my cutlets one by one. Dredge them, which basically means I drag them on both sides over the flour so it's coated. I don't want it sticking. I don't want a lot on there. I'm just going to shake off the excess, but there's still a nice thin coating, and then they're going to go right in the pan. And again, I'm not crowding them. Don't want them to crowd. As you're dredging with your flour, you might need to, you know, take a fork and rearrange your flour so it spreads back out or something before you hit it with your next cutlet. So it makes sure it gets all coated on there. Okay, one more cutlet to go. And it's gonna fit just perfectly in there. In it goes. Now, the beauty about this, because we made these cutlets fairly thin, I mean, these, I pounded them down to maybe somewhere between about a quarter of an inch thick, I would say. Maybe a little bit thicker. But the beauty of it is they're so thin, they're going to cook through in just a few minutes. These should be done cooking, you know, like we're talking like 5 or 6 minutes. So it's not going to take a long time to get these little buggers done. So while we're letting those cook, and I'm going to watch and keep an eye on those, let's talk about Marsala wine for just a second. Clean up my area here. Let me move my cutting board that had chicken on it. Get that out of the way. So Marsala wine is a fortified wine. A fortified wine is different from a typical wine that you would see in the grocery store, like a Pinot Noir or a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Gris, in that it is a fortified wine. It's fortified much in the same way like a port is fortified with brandy. So a Marsala wine is fortified with brandy as well. It's typically used in cooking and recipes like this. I do know of people that drink Marsala wine. It's not a wine that I think I would like to necessarily drink on a regular basis, but you could certainly do it. If you're at the grocery store looking for this, you typically would find it in the same section with the ports and the Madeiras and those sorts of things. The other great thing about Marsala, unlike regular wine, is, you know, if you get a whole bottle of Marsala wine, I'm using a half a cup here. What in the world am I going to do with the rest of this Marsala wine? Well, the good news is, because Marsala wine is fortified, if you put the lid back on, put it back in the fridge when you're done, this stuff will keep for months. I've had this same bottle of Marsala in my fridge. It's almost gone, but it's probably been in there for 6 months, and it's going to keep just fine that long. So you can use it a little bit here and there as you're cooking. So if I make this chicken Marsala recipe once every couple of months, you know, I'll get through a half a bottle of Marsala wine in that period in no time. So don't worry about it too much. Don't toss it out when you're done with it. Just put the lid on it and get it back in the fridge, and it'll be just fine. I'm going to take a look at my cutlets here. Give them a peek. Yep. Beautiful. That flour is giving them just a beautiful little crust on the bottom. Yeah, wonderful. I'm going to flip them here in just a second. Getting some color. Again, I probably should have the exhaust on, but we'll survive. So these are going to get flipped here in a second. Just to summarize what we've done so far, we've cooked pancetta down in the pan, removed it but left the fat in. We've supplemented that fat with a little bit of olive oil. Then we took a chicken breast and we broke it down to 4 cutlet pieces, seasoned it with salt and pepper generously, and then dredged it through flour. And now we're sauteing them in the pancetta and olive oil fat. I'm going to go ahead and turn these little fellas. You should only need to turn them once. You know, this whole cutlet pounding down, dredging, and cooking in oil like this is a great technique to switch up your chicken breast cooking game. I know, you know, boneless, skinless chicken breasts can, they're healthy, right? But they can sometimes be a drag to cook with just because they're so monotone, they're so one note. This is a really fun way, and you can get crazy with your seasonings and do all sorts of stuff with it if you cook it in this method. They'll be a little bit more moist. They'll have a beautiful crispness to them. That fat, of course, I suppose defeats a little bit of the purpose of a boneless, skinless chicken breast, but it is going to add some flavor to it, quite a lot of flavor, actually. I'm going to take just a quick picture here of these so you can see how they're looking. They're only going to need another minute or two. Now, I need another plate because I'm just going to take the... grab a clean plate because I'm going to take the cutlets out and set them aside, let them rest a bit as I make the pan sauce. I'm going to turn my heat down just a little bit. I don't want the flour that is left on the bottom of this pan to burn, so I want to back off the heat just a little bit. But, you know, if you're a new cook and you're working with a recipe like this, I know a lot of folks are sometimes apprehensive to really get your pan hot because you feel like if I put the food in and the pan's too hot, it's just going to burn. And that's just really not the case. You really need a good hot pan to get the color on these cutlets. Remember that cooking is a function of time and temperature, right? So nothing is going to burn instantaneously, certainly not a chicken cutlet. It takes time for that to happen. If I let these in here, I let everything cook out and cook down and just left it on the heat, yeah, it would burn up really bad. But we're not to that point yet. We've got some beautiful brown bits stuck to the bottom of the pan. That's exactly what we want because that's going to add tons and tons of flavor to this final dish. Oh, lovely. Okay, these are almost ready to come out. I didn't look at the time, so I don't know exactly how long they've been in there, but I would say they've probably been in there 5 or so minutes now. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just take a look at these again. Yeah, they're looking perfect. They feel good and firm now. So I'm going to go ahead and take these out. Just so you know, we're actually going to add these back into the pan sauce towards the very end just to give them a good coating of the sauce before we serve. But I'm going to get these cutlets out onto a plate. Then what I want to do is I want to pour out whatever excess fat might be in here. So grab a pot holder in case the handle of your pan is hot. I've just got a little jar here that I'm going to pour out whatever extra fat, which maybe looks like, I don't know, maybe a half a teaspoon left or something like that. It would be handy too to have a paper towel or something nearby just to kind of wipe the rim of your pan so you don't dribble fat everywhere, especially on a flame or a burner. Okay, so the pan is empty. It's back on the heat. I've got it like medium high heat. I'm going to go ahead and deglaze the pan with the Marsala wine. So that means I'm going to pour the Marsala wine in. It's going to sizzle like crazy. And I've got a wooden spoon here with sort of a flat edge that I'm going to use to deglaze and scrape up all the stuff that's on the bottom of this pan. Because if I scrape it right now, it's kind of stuck on. So the wine went in. I just start scraping and everything comes up nice and easy. Give it a good scrape. I'm going to let that Marsala wine cook for just a moment. I want it to cook down just a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and add the pancetta back in. As soon as that cooks down for a second, I'm going to throw the garlic in there as well. I'm going to let that cook. And then I'm going to add the cream. We're going to let that cook together until it gets nice and thick. And then that is going to be, we're almost to the end of this really, really easy chicken Marsala recipe. So in goes the pancetta. Okay. Where's my garlic? There it is. Put the garlic in there. Give that a stir. And, you know, with most recipes, feel free to adjust some quantities. If you feel that perhaps you like more or less garlic, you know, feel free to do what you think is right. It's one of the beautiful things about cooking in your own kitchen is you have absolute license to do any of that kind of stuff that you want. That's why, you know, I call this sort of a modified chicken Marsala. It's just, I think, a little more simple. As you can see, I don't know, we're into this maybe not even 30 minutes yet, and we're just about done. And this is going to be so flavorful, so delicious. You're going to love it. Okay, give this another stir. The aroma, I'll tell you right now, the aroma of that pancetta and the Marsala and the garlic, it really is heavenly. It's making my mouth water. I cannot wait to get into this when it's done. Marsala has a bit of a nutty flavor profile. It's sort of a sweet and nutty, and I'm using dry Marsala wine, so there's even sweeter Marsala wine you can get, but I typically use, if I'm going to cook, the dry Marsala wine. I think sweet Marsala would be more of a dessert application, but all right, I'm going to go ahead and pour in my, I got, like I said, 4 tablespoons of heavy cream. Pour that in, give it a stir to incorporate. This isn't a lot of sauce, I should mention. This isn't something where you're going to have a ton of pan sauce to pour off onto, you know, something else. Like, it's not going to be a pasta sauce per se, because I'm going to put these chicken cutlets back in here in a moment. Cook them for another minute or two in the sauce, flip them so it gets really good and coated, and that Marsala reduction just seeps into those cutlets. And then, I would typically serve these with, say, mashed potatoes, some good flavorful mashed potatoes that don't need a gravy, for example, or some pasta, where you could serve these, you know, a couple of cutlets on a small bed of pasta, and you know, with a good flavorful pasta underneath, you wouldn't need much of a sauce to really make these stand out. Okay, I'm letting this thicken up just a little bit and reduce. I think I already mentioned you can double this fairly easily. You just need to saute the chicken cutlets in two different batches. But as far as everything else, you can pretty much just double the quantities. You know, so you'd be working with a cup of Marsala wine, more oil, excuse me, more, not oil, more cream, a little bit more pancetta. Okay, this is reducing down all right for the sake of time and not to keep this waiting too long. I'm going to go ahead and get the cutlets back in here. Right, back in they go. Let them cook for just a moment on one side, and I'll flip them over. This is, like I said, something you can whip up on a weeknight, but you know, this is very simple and so flavorful. It's quite an impressive concept. So if you are to the point where you're having guests over to your house again, this would be a great dish to use if you're cooking, say, for another couple. I think even somewhat picky kids could totally get down with this. If they're somewhat interested in trying other varieties of chicken, this could be really good. I mean, yes, it's cooked with Marsala wine, but you know, the quantities are small. It does get cooked down a bit. This is not going to give anybody any sort of a buzz or anything like that. So do not worry about that too much. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and flip these cutlets. Let them finish getting a bit of a coating. Now I'm going to let these cook for maybe one or two more minutes, and that's going to be it. That's going to be our chicken marsala. I hope you give this a try and let me know what you think. This is such an easy base to start from and experiment from. I think you're really going to be pleased. I'm going to go ahead and taste my sauce. Wow. It is so rich. The sweet nuttiness of that marsala. The kind of the thick mouth feel from the pancetta and the cream. Really decadent for the little amount of work that went into this dish. So again, I will mention the show notes in a moment for this chicken marsala, but please give it a shot. Let me know what you think. And I hope everyone's doing well and staying sane. Get in the kitchen, have some fun, and cook for the people you love. Okay, everybody, until next time, this is Roger. Hey, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that live Let's Cook episode of Chicken Marsala. One more time, if you want to get the recipe, head over to the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/160. Okay. Also, if you're interested in getting together with the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break community, our private Facebook group, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And if you have any questions for me, you can email me directly at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Though I must admit, I'm a little bit behind on emails. I've even got several questions that I've sort of queued up that I need to get into another episode, probably the next smorgasbord episode that I do here in a few days. So thank you so much for your patience on that. Well, that's going to do it for another episode this time of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you once again for taking a little bit of time to spend with me, listen to what I have to say. I really appreciate it. But you know, I appreciate you all so much more for what you're out there doing day to day, working in the communities, providing for your families, fighting for what's right. Whatever it is, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate what you do. All right, folks, I'm going to leave it at that. Until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.